town Louisville back in the late 70s and 80s, there was a peanut company that made peanut butter, and you could smell it by driving by. Now, that's okay. So I-35 North coming into Fort Worth is wonderful with its exquisite mix of the Mrs. Baird's bread with the Coors Miller Brewing Company next door, yeah. Austin used to have Mrs. Baird's bread, 290 and Airport, across from what used to be Highland Mall. We took field trips there in elementary school, but the aroma within miles was wonderful. And somebody who grew up in Pittsburgh said, so there's nothing quite like that chocolate aroma of Hershey, Pennsylvania. You ought to be able to identify with this, Ty. I used to work in McGregor, and every morning you'd smell the Skittles and the other candy from the Mars plant, right?
Yeah, right there in Woodway. I mean, in Hewitt.
Yeah, M&M Mars. Said. So there's, and then somebody else gave also another vote for the Tyson Chicken plant there near the fields of Texas Lutheran. Used to almost throw up from smelling dead chickens. And Ike says Stinkadina, not Pasadena, your hometown.
That is,
right?
Where I was born.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, anyway.
The coach said reverse it.
Yeah. Well, we kind of did.
Yeah, for at least for a little bit. Cotton Factory in Richmond, Rosenberg area, crossing the Brazos River. Sherman smelled like, it smelled like mayonnaise in the early 90s.
What does that smell like?
Yeah, the mayonnaise plant. Okay, on other inconceivable. Well, speaking of food, Snoop, got a Burger King update for you here.
Chicken Whopper's not coming back yet.
Chicken Whopper's not coming back, but chicken wings going to be added.
Okay.
All right. Now, remember, you know, Panera joined the sandwich war when they debuted a fried chicken sandwich, and you had all these other people doing it. Remember McDonald's had the Mighty Wings? They tried that for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, in the 90s there. They haven't been around the last few years. Now Burger King has announced that it's taking a page from the McDonald's book and bringing their own version of chicken wings to the market. Though if you're wondering where you can purchase the menu item, you'd have to travel at least initially out early, because right now they are only going to offer them in Japan for the moment.
That's dumb.
For the moment, they're going to try it there. They made their debut last Saturday. They're known as Yamatsuki Smoky Chicken, which translates to addictive smoky chicken. According to the survey and to a Japanese food news outlet, these chicken wings will have an applewood and hickory smoke flavor, as well as seven spices that work together to give it its taste. Customers can choose between a 5 or a 10-piece option. Unclear how long the wings will remain on BK's Japan menu, but they may bring it from Japan over to the U.S. And do you remember the limited edition Arby's boneless wings? Snoop, you're a big Arby's customer.
Yeah.
Happened late last year. Initially cost $5. They brought them back as part of a combo, a $6 combo meal for a time. So it's TBD about whether Burger King's wings will make their way to the U.S. soon, and when might they make their way to the U.S.?
I'll be on the lookout.
Will you?
Yes.
Because you're all about that, right?
Just to try them, see if they're good. And if they're good, I'll go back every day until I'm sick of them.
Because I think it was determined that you said that you'll try just about anything at Arby's or Jack in the Box, right?
Once.
At least one time. Okay. Got a relief for folks with regard to gasoline prices. You know how when you get the every July 11th, and it'll be coming up in a couple of weeks, you get the free Slurpees from 7-Eleven, July 11th? Well, there was concern that gas at 7-Eleven went to $7.11.
Oh, that's a troll.
This actually happened.
Oh, hey.
But it was not. I'm showing them a photo of this. It shows 7-Eleven, and it shows the gas prices. But it wasn't actually $7.11. It was an actual photo showing a gas pump at 7-Eleven charging $7.11 for gas. It was taken by Mark Beanstorber, who was surprised to see it. And then Elon Musk shared the photo on Tuesday. considering the price depicted wasn't accurate, so that made it surprising there. But this was in the Chicago area.
Gotta sell some Teslas.
Yeah. He was walking three blocks from his home in Chicago. He saw an old mobile gas station being rebuilt as a 7-Eleven. And this was his quote. And so when they were like setting up and they didn't have the pumps active and the store was being built, they had the sign up and they just put it up as 7-Eleven. The problem was it went in the $7.11 thing. This will make you feel so much better, you guys. The actual price of the gas at that place was $6.09.
Yeah. I feel way better.
Don't you feel so much better? It's over a dollar cheaper there at that 7-Eleven in Chicago. It's $6.09 there. Folks had said the prophecy has been fulfilled. He said, I just thought it was kind of funny. I didn't think it was that big a deal. But once he tweeted it, it almost gives new meaning to the term going viral, because it did. But you can be relaxed and knowing gas hasn't reached $7.11. Not in the lower 48. At least there's that. All right. Coming up, we will be bringing to you Ty Harrington with the music survey. You ready for this, Steve?
I am ready.
So we'll explain it all again for those of you who are a little unfamiliar with the survey that started out. Everybody on the staff did it last year, and we had a lot of fun with it. So now, the brand new music survey, the new summer season of the survey is back. And Ty Harrington, as I mentioned yesterday, dips his toes into the vortex. He will participate in that.
The vortex.
Yeah, he'll go right into the vortex of it.
You ready, Coach?
I'm ready.
And by the way, if you want to still send us smelly towns in Texas, we're okay with that. You know, Luling continues to draw a lot of attention there, so... So there you go. And there's one other thing that CB sent us. I'll get to that as well. You'll appreciate this when we come back with hour number two of Life the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Second hour of Light the Tower here on the Horn. Greg Way, joined by our special guest co-host, Ty Harrington, who in just a few moments here is about to embark on the music survey. Hey, quick over-the-air editing note to our good friend CB. Resend me that piece, will you? Because I meant to get it yesterday. Now I can't find it, but I want to get Snoop's thoughts, and just like you were just texting this on the Specs text line. So, if you've got it, send it to me, because it's a special little thing, and we'll have to get Snoop's thoughts on that coming up. Also, we were talking about all the different towns. We just kind of wandered in this one.
We did
into the towns that kind of had that certain aroma and things like that. And we talked both good aromas and not good aromas.
Yeah.
Any city that's got that has a bread plant in it is pretty good. It's making bread, a bakery. There is doing that. That's pretty good. But refineries, feedlots, chicken plants.
You know, we hadn't seen anybody really said much yet about being out west with all the feedlots.
Yeah.
And surely there's somebody listening to this.
If you're rolling up US 84 between Snyder and Lubbock, about time you get to around Slayton.
That's right.
You start to smell that. Somebody said the Harris Ranch feedlots in Central California on I-5 is at the top of the stinky town list. Will make you not want beef for a minute. So anyway, so I said, get y'all to discuss your favorite 4th of July recipes or food rather than talk about that. So I said, please do the music survey. Now I have a work meeting at 11:30 there. So, and another vote for
Borger.
The panhandle, the Borger up in
Panhandle. Frank Phillips College.
That's right.
That's exactly right. How do you know that?
I had some good friends actually went to Frank Phillips.
In
I was in student government. Nerd. Junior high.
Okay. So there you go. Okay, before we do the survey, this was one thing that I was going to toss into Inconceivable in terms of the fast food, and I couldn't find it, and I'm glad that CB sent it. It's a brand new item coming from Taco Bell, and it is a massive Cheez-It, okay? It's a new menu item that it's 16 times the standard size of a Cheez-It, okay? And it will serve as the base for the big Cheez-It tostada. It layers ground beef, sour cream, tomatoes, lettuce, and cheddar cheese on a gigantic Cheez-It cracker, $2.49, described as an abundantly cheesy and nostalgic yet magically modern dining experience. It looks like a big Crunchwrap Supreme with a Cheez-It stuck in the middle. A big Cheez-It.
I bet
there.
You that's good.
Yeah?
I think so. I'm going to try it. Is it in America? No, only Japan?
You know where it started? Right now, it's only in Irvine, California for the next couple of weeks. So if it's still going on when Linda and I go out for the All-Star game on the tail end of the honeymoon, maybe we'll give it a shot. Okay. She likes Cheez-Its. She's not quite as – we looked at this last night. She's not quite as bought into it because we tried the Cheez-It pizza from Pizza Hut. It wasn't very good. It's a little bit gummy, you know. It wasn't like as – I guess the it didn't have like the crunch of the Cheez-It cracker as much. Maybe this will. I don't know.
Time will tell.
But it's a lot of stuff that we would eat at Taco Bell thrown onto top of a Cheez-It there. So, anyway. All right. So, I had that. All right. We're ready to do this, right?
All right.
Okay. It's time for the music survey. Now, again, for those who don't know, the music survey is something we got from our friends, our good friends at The Ticket, Dunham and Miller, two good friends of mine on in the morning, and with the Musers with their show, and it started with them, and we had all the staff do it, and we've had some other people do it as well, and it's quite simple. It's 11 questions. It's kind of like baseball's a simple game, right? And yet it becomes more complicated. So what it is it's 11 questions. The complication comes in that several of these questions could have the exact same answer, but it's not allowed on the survey because the way the survey goes is you can only invoke the name of a band or artist one time out of this. So it's 11 questions. These questions are as follows. Band or artist I hate. Band or artist I think is overrated. Band or artist I think is underappreciated. Band or artist I love. Band or artist I can listen to over and over. Band or artist that made me fall in love with music. Band or artist that changed my life. Band or artist that surprised me. Guilty pleasure band or artist. Band or artist I should have seen by now. And great band or artist to see live. So those are the areas. So you ready to roll with this?
I'm ready.
All right. Number one is going to be band or artist you hate. So explain your choice.
Well, dislike, hate. I have a lot of daughters. And so when there's a battle over the radio,
yeah,
I'm on the other side of this performer right here.
Yeah.
So when we get in the car, I'd lose most of my battles with my daughters.
Okay.
And when all three are piled up at one time in my vehicle, Taylor Swift seems to make her way into my radio, much to my displeasure, and probably don't dislike as much as I just lose control over my sanctity of my vehicle. And
see,
my daughter's
because my question
over.
Is the way that I always categorize this was the song comes on the radio from a particular artist or band, and you instantly change the channel. But it sounds like you don't have the choice. Sometimes you're subjected to it.
And then you know how it is when your parents told you had to go do something you didn't want to do. This is reverse. My kids are telling me something I don't want to do. I don't want to listen to it, but I'm not going to win that battle. So now I kind of have this double like, this is my car, and I'm not getting the I'm having to listen to something I don't want to listen to, and I'm losing the war.
Is it more about that than Taylor Swift's actual work that you dislike?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
All right.
So, put the two together.
All right. And you have band
that's
or
right.
artist he hates.
That's
it's
right.
Taylor Swift. That's, yeah. Okay. This next category is it's one of the more I don't know if difficult is the right way to put it, but it's one of the more thought-provoking questions of the 11 in visiting with the other staff members, because the category is band or artist you think is overrated. Now, overrated can go to a lot of different things. How highly were they rated or overrated? We have an overrated and underappreciated. And it can range anything from country to heavy metal, whatever, like all the rest of these questions can. But for a perfect example, Rod Babers thinks Elvis was overrated.
Oh, I'm going to arm wrestle him.
Not in terms of the impact he had on the music industry, but just his music he thinks is overrated.
And I'm not you and I are going to have a conversation. We're going to have to sit down and talk about that one.
You, however, go rock and roll with band or artists that you think is overrated. You're going with Kiss.
Kiss. Yeah, I think that they were more about a poster, and they were more about
makeup
and
costume and the show.
Costume and the show, and I thought their music was average at best, if even that. And then, to be honest with you, those posters used to kind of not scare me, but kind of I always looked at them kind of differently. And so that was a turn off. And then I every time they'd come on the radio, I'd try to like the music, and I couldn't do it. And I just thought they were overrated, in my opinion, from the 70s and on into the even 80s. I couldn't buy in. I still don't buy in. And I listened to some of the documentaries, and I watched it to try to help myself.
Didn't work for you.
I couldn't get there.
You know, and somebody will help me this on the Specs text line. Was it Gene Simmons who had the tongue that rolled out like a red carpet? I started to say it was him or Paul Stanley or Ace Frehley. I can't remember, but it was Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was Paul Stanley.
Well, like I said, somebody would help me with this. I couldn't remember because I wasn't a big fan of his either. Now, I will tell you this. In my concert vending days to put myself through school, when I worked for either the band or the arena, I worked a double bill at the Dallas County Convention Center, Kiss and Rat. And Rat led off. And Rat had one of the coolest T-shirts I'll never forget. This rabid-looking rat jumping with teeth bearing, and it had like these electrical cables shooting out of its back. It was really pretty cool, even though I wasn't so much into the, you know.
Well, how was the show?
It was... Yeah. It was Kiss and Rat. So there you go. All right. So for Ty, band or artist he thinks is overrated is Kiss. Okay. Next, I find this interesting looking at your choice here. The band or artist you think is underappreciated. Now, for underappreciated, people could say the exact same thing about my choice. My choice was Electric Light Orchestra, ELO. I'd say in the grand global scheme of it, maybe more. And you kind of feel similarly inclined.
I do.
With that little old band from Texas.
Baby, can they get after it?
And you thought that ZZ Top then just probably didn't get its due?
Nationally, I don't. I think it was more of locally, maybe, and from southern part, and then maybe that's just me because of how much I love this band and how much I like this band,
especially
and
when they get right into this part right here.
You better believe it.
Yeah,
there is so much behind their music, and there's so much. The blue intensity rock, and just the sound reminds me of the southern rock and of blues. It's hard to find, and I love the music, I love the band, and I think that people maybe north of us don't appreciate it as much as maybe we do, and I could be dead wrong about that, Craig. But when I sit there and I look at it, I'm like, this is one of the greatest rock bands, southern rock bands, and blues rock bands ever. In my opinion, and I just don't hear everybody talk about it all the time.
All right. ZZ Top, the band that Ty thinks is underappreciated. Okay. Now, these next four categories, like I said, this is where the creativity comes into it a little bit more because, and you have to think about this more, these next four questions can really and truly, if a person has a band or artist that they just admire so much and is listed for you, could be the answer to all four questions. The four questions are band or artist that you love, band or artist you can listen to over and over, band or artist that made you fall in love with music, and the band or artist that changed your life. Now, theoretically, you know, that could be the same band or artist. For me, I could have thrown the Beatles in all four of those, and I would have been fine with that. But you can only invoke the name of the band or artist one time. This is where the creativity starts, and it leads us to, first of all, band or artist that I love, and I got to admit, you surprised me with this selection here. You know, you just really kind of had me really surprised.
I don't know,
going
man.
With Led Zeppelin.
It is my all-time favorite band. For whatever, you know, reasons. Here's my goal. When I win the lottery, I'm going to pay him $150 million for 4 dates. I'll make my money back, and I'll get to sit in the front row, and you and I will go backstage to get Led Zeppelin to play together again.
At least the surviving members.
Everybody's always tried that anyway. But I'm just saying, to me, this is... There's so many people who have tried to emulate this music. You can't do it. The group, the lyrics, the sound. And for when it came out, it was a different time in my life as well. And it followed me. It never went away from me. And for whatever reason. And I just think it's one of the most creative. And it's my band.
It's interesting. Robert Plant's one of those people that has that unmistakable voice, too.
Yeah, that's right. And how many things? Have you ever seen the special where Hart?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, they brought out all the orchestra behind it. I mean, how incredible was that?
Yeah, it was. And so you don't subscribe to the theory that a lot of folks say, but Led is dead, you know, when they said...
No. Well, it can be for them, right? That's why this is, you know, different for everybody else.
How old were you when you got into Led Zeppelin?
I was probably 13 or 14.
Okay.
And, you know what? I was a freshman in high school, so 15, okay. 14, 15 years
and
old.
And they were still together at the time.
Yep. Yeah, so my first real the cassette I listened to over and over and over was In Through the Outdoor, just constantly over and over and over and over. I mean, it just burned. You know how it finally would peel out of your cassette player, and you'd have to try to restring it, and actually you'd have to go spend $4.99 at wherever it was to go get a new cassette. So I did have a handful of 8-tracks. But it's the music that resonated with me for a strange reason. It was not my way. Look, you'll find out as we go through this.
Yeah.
I was a country, all country guy.
That's why I said this took me by surprise.
Took me by surprise. Oh, but over my lifetime, it has stayed with me the longest.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, band or artist that Ty loves is Led Zeppelin, and that's their anthem, really. Stairway to Heaven is truly their anthem. Next is the band or artist you can listen to over and over. This made me smile because this was one of the artists that I selected as well. And you chose to go with Van Morrison.
Yeah, because if I'm having a bad day, I can plug him in. And I can just sit there, and my day gets better. I get a little bit more of a smile on my face.
Personal question for you. When you were going through your battle, when you went through your battle to overcome cancer, did Van Morrison help
you? Absolutely. There was many times that, you know, you spend, as people who are cancer patients know, you spend a lot of time with yourself going through treatments, and you're the way you look at things start to evolve and change, and music, and I'll be honest with you, Craig, I've always been a music fan, but from my moment when I was dealing with cancer, music became a bigger part of my life. I needed something to make me feel better. I needed something to make me smile, and music was one of them.
Wow. So that's the band, the artist in this case, that he could listen to over and over is Van Morrison. We'll do one more before the break, and this is the band or artist that made you fall in love with music. Now, quite often what we've been told is this has a personal connection to a point in your life, that sort of thing. And that was Van Morrison for me. It was the first 45 record I ever had. It was Blue Money.
Yeah.
In 1970, when I was a kid. And my sister went up to the store with me and got it. I just liked the sound. I didn't know what the song meant, but I found that out later. Mm. But at the time I listened. But this is the band that made you fall in love with music.
Yeah.
And how about this? This goes with, what was it? Chad said band or artist he hates because he can't get past Geddy Lee's voice, right?
He crushed me yesterday. He crushed me when he told me that. There's a lot to this. So
So Rush was your was the band that made you fall in love with music.
Yes, because I was a country, old school country, southern rock fan. I told you the other day, we only got a handful of radio stations that we could get from Dallas. Waco 100 had its normal, and then, but it was mainly country, and then AM country stations as well. And so that was really kind of my handful. That was my music. A friend of mine, my sophomore year in high school, I can remember driving up, had a 64 Chevy stepside truck with a cassette player and box speakers in it and a booster under it. And playing, you know, the normal stuff. And then a buddy of mine named Doug Delaney, who was a longtime high school coach, gave me, I think at the time it was 2112, if I remember, and I put it in and I was like, oh my God, what is this? What is this? Is this techno? Is this rock? Is this? I was confusing for me, but what it made me do was realize that there was different music out there. Why do I think it changed my life? Because it opened my doors to so much more music, so many more different lyrics, so many different things about music I'd never not even close to understanding before. And this was the band that did it for me.
Occasionally, maybe you picked it up if you picked up the Zoo 98.7
Dallas,
that's right. Or Q102.
It was the Zoo.
Yeah.
It was the Zoo. And then, you know, going to what was it, the stadium, Texas Stadium?
Yeah, for the Texas Jam.
Texas Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all, this group led me to open my vision, horizons, my ears, my thoughts to other types of music.
Very good. All right. So there it is, band that... made him fall in love with music. Coming up, more of Ty Harrington's Music Survey as we continue on the Horn.
Hey, Taron Hogan, attention.
After all, Led Zeppelin is Ty's band of arts he loves.
I see Snoop back there kind of... I see him bobbing around back there to it.
Yeah.
Zeppelin's great.
You have to understand that when Snoop was growing up, he was never allowed to play Led Zeppelin in his household, right? Mom and Dad would not have gone down with you on that, right?
Andre Crouch.
Yeah. No Led Zeppelin.
The Winans.
Yeah, there you go. So, Yeah, Led Zeppelin that Ty Harrington revealed was the band or artist he loved. Like we said, we're doing the music survey with Ty, and those four questions in the middle of the 11, band or artist you love, band or artist you could listen to over and over, band or artist that made you fall in love with music. So you had Led Zeppelin, Van Morrison, Rush. Now, band or artist that changed your life, and you talk about changing direction. Here you were going with southern rock to hard rock to the singer-songwriter that Van Morrison was to this.
Waxed and waned.
A long time forgotten, dreams of this fell by.
Y'all want me to
this is going to make you make a lot of people smile.
Good life he promised ain't what
I like when he cues Willie here.
Today.
Willie!
But she never complains of the bad times or the bad things he's done wrong. She just talks about the good times they've had and all the good times to come. She's a good-hearted woman, love with
so,
a good time
to get from Led Zeppelin to Waylon and Willie, that's quite the leap there. But yet, you've got, you know, this is the band or artist that changed your life. And, and it's those two guys, both individually and collectively?
The only way I could get them in there, both of them, was to do it together. All right, so I have always been, my whole life, I've been part of a team. So when they teamed up to me, and when I was going through this, I told you I had to go back and put a lot of thought into this, because Waylon Jennings is one of my all-time favorite singers, and obviously Willie Nelson is. So the only way I could do it was to get both of them in there, and this was one of my favorite duo songs, their team songs they had together. Now, the reason why it changed my life, there's a lot to this. Remember, I told you, I was a country and western guy from the get-go. Willie Nelson was from Abbott, Texas, right down the road from where I was from in Waco. And so I was all country and Southern rock. And what I think these guys did for music, particularly Texas country music and outlaw music and outlaw country, these guys, to me, this was my poll, you know, my choice. I think they did more for country music and Texas country music as we know it. I've got several friends that are musicians here in Austin, around Austin. Corey Morrow and I have been long friends. Charlie Robinson and I grew up playing baseball together. And, you know, there's so many, you know, Pat Green from Waco, I've known it. And so there's a lot of, I think they did as much for country and Texas country music as anybody. People like Steve Earle went off and broke off to this type of music. So when I say it changed my life, yeah, because I still listen to country music, old school country, outlaw country, Texas country, and these two guys, to me, embrace it and made it for me.
And when you consider their own musical backgrounds, it's something like Waylon Jennings playing with Buddy Holly.
That's right.
It's something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, Willie Nelson, man, every time I hear Willie's voice, I just... It's so soothing to me.
It's amazing. It's like, he's still rolling at 89.
Yeah, and he would have been, you know, one of mine, and where Van Morrison would have fit in. It was a tie, but I knew when I brought him in with Waylon that you know, it was going to be able to. But I just think those guys changed music, and particularly Texas country music and country and outlaw music.
So there it is. The band of artists that changed Ty Harrington's life, both Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. So if you think. Have we gone from the yin to the yang, from Led Zeppelin with hard rock, a band or artist he loves, to the artist he could listen to over and over, Van Morrison, the band that made him fall in love with music, Rush, to the artists that changed his life, Waylon and Willie. How about the band that surprised him, you know, the one that actually surprised him? You talk about surprising me. You roll straight from Waylon and Willie to Kool and the Gang.
There's a story to this. 1983, Moorhill Dorm, University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
My two sweet mates, Greg Swindell, Rusty Richards, from Houston, Sharpstown High School, fresh off a state championship. And they introduced me to Kool and the Gang. The Gap Band, the Daz Band, all of that came from Houston to me, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so good. Again, got to go back. I was from Waco, country, Southern rock, and I was so surprised by this. And now this led to so many other bands to me. And so now my genre of music opened up because of my two sweet mates and what they brought from Houston.
So you would hear this, like when you got into Moorhill Hall in the dorm, they were playing it, and it exposed you to it.
Yeah, Greg Swindell had the Chevy truck with the three on the tree, too, like mine, and drive had this big booster in there, and we'd get in there, and he would turn this up, and now, you know, they brought the Daz Band I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, the Gap Band I'd heard a little bit about, but not much, and he and Rusty brought that, and I was like, I was so surprised, I was like, all right, and you know, and so, yep, I mean, I'm a fan.
It's amazing that the influences of college and living in the dorm can do. All right, so that was when you were a freshman, what, 1983, right?
Fall of 83, that's right.
I'll take you back 5 years prior to that, fall of 1978. I'm a freshman at UNC Wilmington, Galloway Hall. I'm walking down the hall, and I start hearing this. Really, really loud coming from one of the rooms down at the end of the hall. And I'm going, what is this? I'm like, is this a fire drill? And all of a sudden, that's how I was introduced to Van Halen in the fall of 1978 as a freshman at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And they were rocking it big time. But speaking of bands that played at the Texas Gym, right?
That's right. Yeah. I had an 8-track. I had the big VH on it, you know, on the cover. And they almost made the list. Van Halen almost made the list as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it was more my type of music. What was the radio station in Belton? 93.3? It's a week clean, yep. Belton, and I'm Mike Hartz on the and I could pick it up late at night because I could still see Fort Hood from where we lived in Woodway.
Yeah.
And from when they were doing maneuvers. I could pick up a little bit of that radio, and at night, late at night, they had FM radio, or rock, and that's where I learned Van Halen.
The same dude that introduced me to Van Halen, another day, same thing, fall of 78, I'm walking down, I get off the elevator on the second floor, I'm walking down the hall, and I hear this. Really loud. I'm thinking, he's at it again. What is this? And I thought, is this Van Halen? I thought, no, this is not Van Halen. This is something completely different. It was my introduction to what we now know as Yacht Rock. It wasn't Yacht Rock back in 1978. Toto was not, but it is now. So, yeah, I understand the influence of the college environment. Okay. All right. Back to Ty's list. So the band or artist that surprised him, the band Kool & the Gang. Now, this next one, I almost put it in the same category in terms of how you view it through your prism. This is another one of those real interesting categories. It's your guilty pleasure band or artist. For example, Snoop's was who was it?
Well, it was Cupid Shuffle, but then I doubled back and said Aqua Barbie Girl.
Barbie Girl Aqua, okay? All right, so it's different viewpoints. Mine, I said, was America, and folks said, well, it shouldn't really classify as guilty band or play. And I almost feel the same way about your choice, because I always loved David Byrne and Talking
Heads. Me too.
But this was your guilty pleasure band or artist?
I had to kind of go and look up what guilty pleasure even meant, to be honest with you.
Well, you're with your group, and your group doesn't listen to a certain band or a certain artist. And so you listen to it kind of on the side.
I do. And I think, I mean, I like David Byrne. I love Talking Heads. And I grew up, I mean, the people I ran around with, there wasn't a whole lot of listening to the Talking Heads. And you know, the other, it was a battle between this and Depeche Mode. And so, I mean, it was kind of back and forth. And then I like David Byrne, and I love their music. I love the beat of it. I like, I don't know, but most of the people I run around with, particularly, I don't hear them listen to it very often. And so I felt like this was, you know, and again, I feel kind of guilty. I had to go back and look up guilty pleasure.
All right.
And so, again, now this was my list, right?
Yes.
So this is
absolutely
meant to me. So I, you know, everybody's got a different version of this, and I'm enjoying listening to it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's Ty's guilty pleasure banner. He's got two categories left. Found this interesting. Again, you're kind of doing a jump to another genre. You know, the band or artist you should have seen by now. You're going Metallica.
Yeah.
You threw me off, Snoop. I thought you were going to play the start of Enter Sandman, because I think of Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, me too.
Every time.
I mean, if you hear that beginning of it, when he's coming in from center field, and I mean, that'll change your, you know, the bell tolls and all the other. I mean, it'll change. To me, I have not gone to see him. I have not seen them live. I have to. There it is.
Yeah, when you hear
this.
I mean,
can you? And I want to be there. I know it sounds goofy. I want to be in about row 10. And when they start playing this, and when he hits the guitar for the hardest time, right here, and the drums start going, and everybody starts jumping up and down, I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to be right in the middle of it. And I maybe even go to West Virginia, or to, Virginia Tech, where they play it at a football game.
Yep.
I want to be there and feel the energy behind that and see what that would be like.
Would you allow the students in Blacksburg to mosh you, do a mosh pit thing?
I'm in.
Kind of rolling on that?
Yeah. I mean, I can do it now.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right. So the band you should have seen by now is Metallica. And our final category, I 100% agree with you on this, because I've done it, I've worked it as well, and it's your great band or artist to see live. And I love your choice of the tune you wanted to hear. I actually heard it on the way in, coming in. Of course, we're talking about what was classified by some as the world's greatest rock and roll band, the Rolling Stones. And you got a chance to see him live where?
I did, in New Orleans. But
this was in the fall of 81, December of 81. That's when I worked them in the Superdome, and they shot off fireworks inside the Superdome. something that'll never happen again.
2019.
Okay.
And in New Orleans, right before, and I went over with a guy I worked with, Darren Casey, and we flew over. And we had a, believe it or not, we had a motorcycle motorcade take us to the concert. We got out. They thought we were the Stones. Getting, I think that is a true story. Everybody was waiting to see who we were when we got out of this bus. And because we had, you know, a police escort in there. And the reason why this group has chosen me outside of the obvious, right? This is a huge corporate. You could say this is, you know, everybody's choice. But the reason for me was during that concert, they had all of the songs that they weren't playing that night. And they allowed you to look on there and you could pick five for them to try to play in their encore.
To add to the set list?
Okay. But what was so overwhelming is I was looking, their stage present that night was unbelievable. The stage was so big and the videography and everything that went on, it was just unbelievable. And to just see the number of songs, I went, oh my God, they're not playing that tonight. They're not even playing that tonight. Reminded me of just how powerful this band was for so long. And again, let's go back to this. My nature is to be in a part of a team. How do you keep a group like this in a team together so long?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
And to me, that is the music, what they represent, how they were able to stay together, how nostalgic it is. Everything that went along with this band. When it got right down to it, I was like, this is it. And
yeah.
So... there you go.
Well, there it is. Ty Harrington's Music Survey. We'll be back to wrap up Light the Tower on the Horn. So we get ready to wrap it up here. Wanted to wrap it up with one of Ty Harrington's choices. Is one of the groups and bands that kind of changed his life, right?
It is.
Is it
in? It is. I saw him in concert here in Austin, too.
So are you trying to tell me that Greg Swindell introduced you?
He did.
To he jazz
did.
Band?
He did. He sure did. He and Rusty Richards did. And at first, I was kind of, you know, wasn't sure. And then I was like, man, this is a whole new piece of my life that's fixing to become and was and surprised me. And it was unbelievable. And like I told you yesterday, I got to throw this in. One of the greatest concerts I ever went to was Toby Keith, but it wasn't a Toby Keith concert. Jim West, Golf Classic, and Toby Keith was playing with a cover band from Las Vegas. And there was only 50 people in the whole wide world that got to experience this. And Toby Keith covered anything from Merle, Van Morrison, to Snoop Dogg, and he would not play any of his songs. And it was one of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life.
Well, there it is. Hey, I appreciate you doing this the last couple of days.
Fun.
A lot of fun. Enjoyed
I
that
did.
As well. The Ty's Music Survey will be posted later on the Light the Tower page. Stay tuned because up next will be Chad and Trey with Shirts and Skins. For a man behind the glass, our producer, Snoop Daniel. For Ty Harrington, I'm Craig Wade. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoy the holiday weekend. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. Jeff will be back as well. Until then, I'm Craig Wade. Thanks for joining us. Be safe and enjoy this holiday weekend. We'll visit with you next time on Light the Tower.